Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Well, church family, take your Bibles and open your Bibles up to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 24. And we're looking at Luke 24, verses 13 through 35. Luke 24, verses 13 through 35. And I'm going to read the text of Scripture in just a second. But before I do that, I'd like to share something that I share every time I preach here at North Central, and it's this. We have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here, every race and every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single and some are married. Some have been married for a long time. Some just got married. Some have kids and some don't have kids. Many here or many watching today are believers, but not all. But we're all here today watching because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make disciples. Because of that, our people get together, and we're doing it by Zoom right now in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Praise God, Jesus really is wonderful. On this wonderful Easter Sunday morning, I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you, what is your Easter story? What is your Easter story? And you say, well, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, your Easter story is the time when you realize that Jesus did rise from the dead for you, and you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When did you discover the gospel of Jesus Christ, and when did you put your faith and trust in him? We're actually going to study some guys in the Bible, and the title of the message today is Two Men Tell Their Easter Story. Two Men Tell Their Easter Story. What is my Easter story? I've told our congregation many times. When I was a teenage boy, my dad developed cancer, and he died when I was 15 years old, and it really shook me up. And as a result of an invitation from my sister and my brother-in-law to go to a youth camp, I went to that camp, and at that camp, I heard the message of Jesus Christ. Boy, I needed Christ. I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that I needed Jesus, and I gave my life to Christ, and it started me on a trajectory in my life that I can tell you is amazing. I could spend the whole time today describing all the blessings that the Lord has done because of my Easter story. What is your Easter story? Well, I want to encourage you to listen as this passage of Scripture describes two men who really had no Easter story. They were actually there on Easter, though, and they didn't have a story until later. We'll see it all unfold. So I'm going to read this from my Bible, and I want you to follow along in your copy of God's Word. This is Luke chapter 24, verses 13 and following. It's a little bit longer of a passage, but we believe the Bible around here, and we teach the Bible, so that's why we're going to read the Scripture together. So here's the Scripture. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together of all the things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have had with one another as you walk and are sad? Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how the chief priest and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Now this is verse 22. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. when they did not find his body, they came saying that they also had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women have said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Verse 27 says this, And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took the bread, he blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Imagine that, Jesus vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon. Verse 35, our last verse. And they told about the things that had happened on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Two men tell their Easter story. What is your Easter story? I tell you, there are three things about these two guys that I want you to get a hold of today. The first one is this. First of all, they were confused. Number one, they were confused. On the same day that Jesus rose from the dead, they were there. They were in with the believers. The women had gone to the tomb and they came back, and yet they did not believe. On that same day, they just decided, let's go back to Emmaus. Let's walk to Emmaus. And on that road, they were confused. The Bible says they talked together of these things in verse 14. They talked together of all these things. This story prepares for Jesus to enter the story. And as they were talking back and forth, the commentators say that the tension was mounting. They must have been kind of confused and arguing about, what about this Jesus? We were kind of following him, and yet he's dead now. It's over. And so they were confused. And then here's what happens. Jesus drew near. Now, I don't know about you folks, but I tell you, there's a lot of confusion in our world right now. And I want you to know this. Jesus Christ is drawing near. Hey, on Easter Sunday morning, Jesus Christ is drawing near to you. He's drawing near to the confused, those that don't understand what in the world's going on in their life. He drew near to these two men, and I believe he's drawing near to us today. He says in verse 17, Jesus actually spoke to them. Now, they didn't recognize him. The Lord didn't allow them to understand that it was him, because he wanted to teach them from Scripture, and he was going to reveal himself to them later. But the Bible says in verse 17 that Jesus said, What kind of conversation are you having? And then it says there at the end of that Scripture, it says, with one another as you walk and are sad. Now, when it says what kind of conversation, that is a word that means to throw back and forth. In other words, they were having a conversation, tossing things back and forth. I'm sure they were coming up with all the reasons in the world of why Jesus had failed. They were thinking about, they were trying to figure it all out, so they were having a conversation. And Jesus said, what is this you're talking about? And then he says, you are so sad. The word sad means the downcast, a downcast look of settled grief, pain, and displeasure. Well, the men said to Jesus, are you a stranger around here? Don't you understand what's been going on in Jerusalem? And he says, what kind of things are you talking about? Well, they started to tell him about the things that had happened. They said that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, was a prophet, that he was delivered to be condemned to death, and that he was crucified. And see, all these things confused them. So the first thing is that it was confusing to them, the things that were happening. And I just was thinking about your circumstances today. As I've been praying about this service, I'm thinking about your circumstances that you possibly don't understand. Hey, how about your health? How about your marriage? things you don't understand about your children maybe, or maybe your job, you're having difficulty with your job. There's people that are losing their jobs right now. Maybe something happened to you in your past, the way you were treated, and it's confusing to you. You don't understand, God, where have you been in all of this? So these guys were confused. They were confused, and they were tossing around ideas trying to explain about the events of Easter Sunday. Now, maybe you're watching today, and you're not sure about the events of Easter. Why is there all this excitement among believers in Christ about Easter? Well, I'm hoping by the end of this message, you'll understand that. But the first thing we see about two men that tell their Easter story is, first of all, they were confused. But you know what? They had been hopeful. Number two, they were hopeful, because he says in verse 21, he says, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. They were hoping that Jesus Christ was going to be different than any other leader they had ever seen, that he was going to be a redeemer of Israel. And this was the third day, they said, and yet nothing's happened, and so they left. Can I tell you this? I really believe deep down inside, the world is hopeful that Jesus is the Messiah. You say, well, how do you know that? Do you know that the book of Romans tells us that placed within every person in this world is the knowledge that there is a God? In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it says this, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You see, these guys had evidence that Jesus had risen from the dead, and yet they didn't believe it. They left Jerusalem to go to Emmaus. They had evidence. What was it? In verse 22, certain women came back and astonished them and said that Jesus was not in the tomb. In verse 23, it says, they did not find his body. And by the way, they still haven't found the body of Jesus. No one has found the bones of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is resurrected from the dead. And so they had evidence. Can I tell you this? You have evidence today. Maybe you're watching today and you're thinking, you know, I would give my life to Christ if I thought Jesus really did rise from the dead. Can I tell you this? Jesus really did rise from the dead. Let me tell you how you evaluate a historical event. You evaluate it using law, and the way you do it using the law of historicity and studying history is you evaluate an event by written testimony, by oral testimony, and by physical evidence. Do you know that of all the ancient writings, we have Homer's Iliad. We have 643 fragments of that document that Homer wrote. Do you know that we have over 24,000 documents of the New Testament, many of them found in all different places of the known world at that time, and yet they all dovetail together? When you evaluate the historicity of the written scripture that verifies the resurrection of Christ, can I tell you something? You will discover that you have all the evidence that you need that Jesus did rise from the dead. Howard Voss, who was a researcher and archaeologist, said this, from the standpoint of literary evidence, the case for the reliability of the New Testament is infinitely stronger than for any other record. But not only do you study the written evidence, you study the oral testimony. Do you know that Luke, who wrote this gospel in the book of Acts, he says, he appeared unto them with many convincing proofs over a 40-day period. Luke was a doctor. He was interested in details, and so he wrote down in his written record, he says, we saw him with our eyes. He told about it orally. And so you have oral testimony of witnesses. And then you have physical evidence. Do you know this, ladies and gentlemen? Praise God, they've never found the bones of Jesus. They have found a bunch of empty tombs, but they have never found the bones of Jesus, because Jesus is not dead. He is alive. Do you know that if the Romans and the Pharisees wanted to destroy Christianity, all they would have had to have done would have been to find the bones of Jesus and present them to his disciples, and it would have been over. You and I would not be celebrating today, Easter Sunday, if they could have found the bones of Jesus. But the truth is, they did not find the bones of Jesus. Jesus was put into a grave, a Roman guard. There were 18 things to break a Roman seal. It had to have been a miracle for God to have raised him from the dead and for him to have gotten out of that tomb. He did it because he rose from the dead. Then you have his appearances to others. There are the appearances to the other women in Matthew 28. Then you have the appearance to the 10 disciples in Luke 24. Then you have the appearance to the 11 disciples in John 20, 26 and following. To the 7 disciples by Galilee in John 21, 1 through 23. And then to more than 500 people, Jesus appeared after his resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, 6. And then to the 11 at the ascension in Matthew 28, 16 through 20. The bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, is that you have evidence. Now, these guys on the road to Emmaus, they had evidence too. They were actually in Jerusalem. The day that Jesus supposedly rose from the dead, people had gone to the tomb and said he was not there. They came back and told them that story, and they still didn't believe. It is really a choice of the will for you to realize and be awakened to the fact that Jesus Christ is alive and that Jesus has risen from the dead. I think about the existence of the Christian church. Think about that. The fact that there is a movement of believers and has been since Jesus rose from the dead is verification also is part of the process of evidence as you evaluate the resurrection of Christ. I think about the change in the disciples' lives. These guys were cowards. They were scared. They ran when Jesus was arrested, and yet after Jesus rose from the dead, they went all over the world, crisscrossed the world to tell people about the risen Savior. And churches were started all over the known world at that time. Why? Because of the disciples. And by the way, all but one of the disciples, history tells us, they sealed their testimony with their own blood. They were martyrs. And since that time, people have died for Christ. All of this, do you think because of a fable? No. All of this was because Jesus Christ is alive, and we celebrate him today on Easter Sunday. And then even the change of worship from Saturday to Sunday is an evidence of that. So Jesus said to them in verse 25, he said, "Why are you foolish ones? You're slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have said." Jesus went back and even showed them, the scripture says, from the prophets, how that he must suffer and die for the sins of mankind. You see, Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins and to purchase us a place in heaven, which he offers us as a free gift. Ladies and gentlemen, the evidence is there. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you don't have to be hopeful. You know Jesus has risen from the dead because he has changed your life. The story is told of a writer that was a journalist at the Chicago Tribune, and he was an atheist. He did not believe there was a God, and his wife was an agnostic, and she ended up becoming a believer. Someone talked to her about Christ. She gave her life to Christ. This Chicago Tribune writer, who was an atheist, he began to see positive changes in her character. She was different. Something had gone on the inside to change her from the inside. You know, he said, "You know what, I'm going to study this Jesus because I don't believe this baloney." And so he began to study the resurrection. He concluded that if he could disprove the resurrection, then Christianity would crumble and he could get his wife back as an agnostic. Well, what happened was he realized this was no legend. A legend takes two or more generations to generate, and yet he found testimony of people that were alive when these events took place that verified that this was not a legend. They were telling the story themselves. And so he realized that his objections evaporated. He concluded that it would take more faith to be an atheist than to follow Jesus Christ. That man's name was Lee Strobel. He was a writer for the Chicago Tribune, and he wrote a book called The Case for Christ, an excellent book where he displays the evidence that he went through as he gave his life to Christ. These two guys on the road, they had evidence. They were hopeful, and yet they had evidence, and they didn't believe. They were confused about it at the beginning. They were talking about it back and forth. But here's the third thing. They finally recognize the risen Christ. And we see that in verses 30 and through 35. They recognize the living Christ. Here's what happened in verse 30. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and he gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Now just imagine that. Imagine you were with someone having a meal, and they took bread and they broke the bread. And as they broke the bread, all of a sudden that you realized it was Jesus, and boom, he was gone. Well, that's exactly what happened to them. They realized that it was Jesus Christ. Something about the way he broke that bread. Maybe they had followed him and they had seen him break the bread with the 5,000. Maybe they had seen him break the bread at the Lord's table at some time. Maybe they noticed the scars in his hand. You see, Jesus at this point was in his resurrection body, and yet the scars were there. Do you remember doubting Thomas saying, "Lord, I will not believe unless I see the scars in your hand"? And Jesus held out his hands and showed Thomas the scars. And then Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus said this, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." You see, Jesus has given us the evidence we need to put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. These guys, their eyes were opened. Maybe you're listening to me today and you're realizing, you know what, I think Jesus really did rise from the dead. I've never put my faith and trust in Christ. I pray that you'll do that today. I pray that this Easter will be the most special Easter you have ever had in your life, because today is the day that you've given your life to Christ. You know you need to do that. You know deep down inside you need to give your life to Jesus Christ. And they even said in verse 32, they said, you know, when he was talking to us on the road, didn't our hearts even burn within us while he talked with us on the road? Maybe deep down inside in your heart is burning within you, knowing that the message of Jesus is the message that you need. Can I tell you this? You have the evidence that you need, but make sure you realize, see, these guys, they didn't realize that Jesus really had risen from the dead. They didn't get the whole message. They just got the message that Jesus had died. They didn't know for sure that he had risen until after they saw him on the road. Sometimes we get confused in our life. Sometimes we're hopeful, and yet we don't know the answers. Can I tell you this? There was a story of Wellington, the great military leader in England, and he was going to fight Napoleon at a place called Waterloo. This battle that was waged against England and France was going to determine the future of Europe. But back then, they didn't have television. They didn't have satellites to be able to get the message back and forth. So how did they tell people how the battles were going? They would take a ship and they would put it in the harbor. And the people would go to the shore and they could look at the ship and they would hold up big letters to describe what has happened. They call that semaphore. And they would, by semaphore, they would spell out the message that they were going to give. Well, one day after that battle had begun, a ship moved into the harbor in England, and the signs went up, Wellington. And they said, "Oh, it's about Wellington. Go get your friends. Go get your neighbors." And they all came to the shore to see what was the result. And all of a sudden, their hearts were broken because the signs went up by semaphore on that ship. It said, "Wellington defeated." They hung their heads and they said, "Can you believe it? Wellington has been defeated." And about that time, a thick London fog shrouded the land, and the people left defeated and depressed, saying to themselves, "Wellington has been defeated." 3 hours later, they came back to the harbor because they wanted to see the names of the casualties. But when they came back to the harbor, the fog had cleared, and they realized that they had not received the full message. By semaphore, the message was now fully revealed, and here it was, Wellington defeated the enemy at Waterloo. They realized Wellington did win. We have victory. And can I tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, think about this with me today. When Jesus Christ died on that cross, the demons danced. They danced in the streets, and the disciples left the cross saying, "Jesus defeated." Can you believe it? For 3 days and three nights, the fog was over the land. But on Sunday, they got the rest of the message, and here it was. Jesus defeated the enemy at Calvary. And these two men realized that message on that Easter Sunday for themselves. How about you? Whatever you do, don't just get half the message today on Easter. Whatever you do, get the full message. Jesus Christ is alive, And you can have new life too, because Jesus defeated death by his resurrection. Do you know Jesus Christ in a personal way? I have some materials I would love to send anyone interested in knowing Jesus in a personal way. All you have to do is write me at info@gatorchurch.com and we'll get you the information that you need. Have you given your life to Christ? I did that as a teenage boy. I just told you that story. And I gave my life to Christ and it changed me forever. I pray that you would give your life to Jesus Christ and put your faith. What do you have to do? You turn away from your sin. The gospel message is this: you turn from your sin and you trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And it is by grace that we are saved through faith, and it's not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. So I encourage you to put your faith and your trust in Jesus. If you want to do that today, or if you've done that today, while we're watching here, I want you to write me, email, so that we can send you some material that will help you. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we love you and praise you. Thank you, Lord, for two men that shared their story about Easter. Lord, I thank you for this Easter, for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I pray for those that do not know Christ, for them to give their lives to Christ today. And Lord, I pray for believers that are watching and other believers all over this world that have put their faith in Jesus. Lord, would you encourage them today? Would you bless them today? Thank you, Jesus, that you conquered death, hell, and the grave on our behalf. We love you today, and we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.